This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting, March 5th, 2009.
Record voter turnout. Congratulations to all the candidates. You're done with your campaign. I don't have the exact number.
Probably close
Mike
to
will have it. It's over
Ari
for now.
Oh, well.
Ari, do you have the voter turnout number?
Yeah, he's going to give it to you.
Okay, everyone has to be quiet because the meeting has been called to order. Thanks.
Wow.
And last year was?
1,500.
I think it was 1,500. So that's a big increase. So congratulations to all of you. I'm sure that's a testament to all of your campaigning and getting out to vote. So, great. There are 14 challenges tonight. I'm going to wait until everyone's settled. Okay. The Elections Committee are hearing all challenges. If all goes as planned and the challenges are heard and completed tonight, we'll make the announcement tomorrow. If not, it will be on Monday. Any questions about elections? Come on.
Are the results going to be released for the races and vote challenges?
No. Everything is at the same time. It's one cue button.
Yep.
It might be Monday if the challenges take long, if there's more appealing going on. So, next we have VP Basil, academic integrity announcement. Everyone really needs to stop the side chatter, especially because we have no microphone.
Yeah, basically I just want to let everyone know we are set to present to the Faculty Senate on their April 8th meeting, I think. And what we want to do is we're going to present them with an honor statement because academic integrity falls under the purview of the Faculty Senate. So what we want to do is present an honor statement for their approval. If they approve this honor statement, then we hopefully will move into the process of actually merging the current academic code of integrity with an actual honor code and into an actual honor code, as well as developing the sort of structural system that would accompany it. So I'm going to schedule a meeting at some point next week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. And anyone who's interested, we're going to try to draft an honor statement, basically. So something simple, so that when we come back from spring break, we can finish it up and have it ready for the Faculty Senate meeting on April 8th. So, questions?
Any questions for Basil?
Yeah, so you'll get an email next week, or maybe this weekend. I haven't decided.
Can everyone try to turn them on one more time? Because the recorder doesn't catch our voices for the minutes if they're not. So turn them on. Keep them, just far from you, I guess. Okay. We have an Ivy Civic Engagement Conference announcement by Representative DiPella. Yeah. It'll pick it up.
Okay. I sent out an email last night with the SA listserv about an Ivy Council civic engagement trip to Washington, D.C. Very interesting trip. It's set up a lot differently than the other conferences, which some of you may have attended. I'd really like it if you guys could apply to it. If you're interested, there's more information online. The trip is going to be held April 23rd to April 25th. You're going to meet with policy leaders in Washington, D.C. There's also talk with 6 other students from each of the Ivy League schools, so for a total of hopefully almost 50 students. So it should be a great trip. If you have any questions, please let me know. I know Vice President Ginowitz is going to send something over the SA Facebook group. All right? Thank you.
Thank you, Alex. Any questions for Alex?
There's no cost to us. Right?
Okay. I have one announcement. At our semesterly meeting with President Scorton, the other assembly president, and myself, amongst other students. One thing that amongst others we brought up was student involvement in financial decisions regarding department cuts, program cuts, things like that. At this point, it's been just how everything has been progressing. It's, myself and other assembly presidents, we've been kept in the loop and we've been informed whenever anything is going to happen, and before it's released to the media outlets, we're informed. So it's great that we've been kept in the loop, but we really haven't had much direct input in terms of, for example, Tower Cafe closed this semester. There wasn't a significant amount of student input, probably because all these decisions had to be made very fast. And they recognized that. It was done perhaps not as strategically as possible. So for the next couple of years, when cuts do need to continue, there's going to be a standing strategic committee, financial strategic committee, whatever they're going to call it, of which administrators like Susan Murphy, President Scorton, and will involve students and will be able to have a say. And for, you know, using the Tower Cafe as an example, you know, perhaps students might be able to recognize other errors, hours that might have been able to be cut versus closing Tower Cafe. That's just one example. Not that I think personally it should have stayed open. I mean, it seemed like an appropriate decision. But that's what the game plan is as far as these financial cuts and engaging more student input, because hasn't been so in the past. Any questions about that? Any further announcements or reports that wasn't emailed to Basil? All right, moving on to business of the day. Let's see, it's 4:55, we're 5 minutes early, but we have SJFC appeals. Mezzi, is any other one in the room yet?
SJFC is not here yet.
Okay. We will...
You want to go to 26?
Yeah. We have four SJFC appeals, but we're a little early, so we're actually going to go to Resolution 24, Appendix A changes. That should be before Resolution 29. So VP Mezzi. As a reminder, this is the second week it's been on business of the day. Third week it's been on the table. So 2 minutes to recap.
So basically really quick, Vice President Hazel, you and one representative of the assembly, whose name or safety meeting has changed to talk about the way to improve this, and then we discuss further at the executive board meeting and throughout several of the emails, and came up with changes that ultimately I found to be friendly, and I went ahead and added it to the document. So the changes I highlighted and are in the new copy that you have. And the first being section C, part 4. At each meeting of the assembly, meeting and following such a meeting of the committee, the vice president of finance will introduce a written report on the committee's presentation, including blank. The last one is rationale explaining the committee's recommendation and a brief response from the applicant, including any request to appeal to the assembly. The vice president of finance may set a deadline for the applicant. The submitted response provided a deadline of no less than one business day after the applicant receives notice of the committee's decision. So it's basically saying, I can't say, or whoever's in the finance at this time, can't say, you need to get back in 30 minutes with your response. You need to deal with that whole thing. And then the vice president of finance questions for each applicant of the time and location of any meeting where the report is to be presented or reviewed, and must advise each applicant to send a representative who may answer questions of the assembly. If the applicant chooses to appeal the committee's recommendation, the assembly will reconsider the recommendation of the committee. The vice president of finance will provide several copies of complete application materials at any meeting where the assembly considers the meeting. So basically what they're saying is that if a group doesn't want to apply, or if a group doesn't want to appeal, the assembly can, motion to overturn the recommendation and go into it. But if the group does want to appeal and says, we're not happy with the decision, it basically goes into an automatic discussion by the assembly where the assembly will then set the 14 to the immediately appropriation for these recommendations. Basically, what those changes are saying. If anyone has any questions about that or anything,
you go first.
But that's pretty much
thanks, Greg. Thank you for working on this relatively large project. VP Basil's first of the speakers list.
Yeah, I think these are great. I know I want to thank first Nikhil and ASA particularly for helping me with the changes. I think that this is basically a great balance between allowing, as Greg just said, allowing groups to appeal and really have a full process. In addition, the fact that we're not motioning to disapprove, that it's automatically reconsidered, cuts out a lot of the time spent discussing everything twice. So I think this is a great step toward both efficiency and making sure that every group has a full say. So I'll let Tony talk if he wants to, but I would recommend that somebody motion to call the question.
VP Miller.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Chris, and thanks for working on this and doing it like the right way. It's the way things should be done, like talking about them outside of this tedious assembly system and coming up with a great document. I think it's an awesome process, and I call the question.
Should I call the question? There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Yes.
Yep. Resolution 24, paying state changes. Is there any dissent? There's no dissent.
I move to a hand vote.
No, it's a charter change. Leslie, I'll give you 30 seconds, and we'll have the clerk call the roll. All right. Thanks. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Abstain.
Yes.
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 There were no proxies cast.
I thought Asa T contacted you.
Okay, then it's not.
What's 2 doing?
Hold on, Molly. Wait, just hold on.
Wait, hold on, I need 1/3.
Just a moment.
It's 15.
What is the count? Okay, so we need 2/3 because it's a charter change. So the vote
did not
stay. What's that? What's that? No, on the student assembly too. Charter change. So that motion fails.
Motion to table.
No, I'm going to open up the speakers list again. No one dissented. I'm not sure why there are so many abstentions. Perhaps we went in the vote a little too fast. Speakers list is open again, and this will still be on the table. Representative Dykow. Responding at 2 things, we can always add things to Appendix B. These were a bunch of changes, but okay. Sure.
One
minute.
A motion to amend.
Okay.
It would go under Part 4, Procedure A3.
Mm-hmm.
So where Betty starts in your applicant's name crossed it out, right there, I would like to add where you start in part section 4A3, the last bullet, kind of like right under where you start your applicant's name crossed it out.
Yeah. Right before A4, everyone.
Right above A4. I would like to add the bullet list of things they have to submit, a description of sustainable practices organization has taken in the last 2 academic years, and any effect these measures have had on cost, and a description of intended sustainable practices for the upcoming 2 years for which funding is requested, not to exceed 2 pages, help can be provided by the SAEC, the Environmental Committee, if solicited.
Okay. There's an amendment. Greg, you find that friendly?
No. We have a plan. made them, and we wanted to move forward that way and put this in as something we want for the next my funding cycle, so that over the next 2 years we can see it through. I think it'll be okay, but right now I don't think it's appropriate to have.
Okay, so we would now go into a speakers list on the amendment, but is translator interpreter program here? My question is, should we continue with this or should we go to SHC Appeals?
Continue this until the group, the next group is
here. Fine. Okay, speakers list is now open on the amendment. Does anyone need the amendment repeated? Okay, Nikki Miller.
So Emma, we talked about this last week. I think it's great to do it in another way. I don't think this is the document it should be a part of, because putting that in there might, you know, pressure the groups into thinking this affects their funding decisions, and like this is a part of the funding application. I think it should be a separate thing. Like Brian was saying, maybe when we look at an appendix B, we look at different groups, you know, and how they can do it. And of course, to echo what Greg said, it's a great idea, but I don't think it belongs in this document. I think it should be a corollary to something else.
Sorry, I actually, just to clarify, I wasn't recommending where it should go. I meant to say Appendix A, because this is a document. I was just saying we can change it whenever it has to be edited now, but I didn't want to. Okay.
But yeah, I don't want groups to think that this will affect their funding in one way or the other, or that there's an economic incentive to do it. That would just be my commentary.
Representative Stein.
I genuinely believe that although we're encouraging sustainability, it still needs to be a choice. And there are groups who cannot become more sustainable without incurring significant costs. And I do agree with Tony that, yeah, sustainability is great, woohoo, but we all need to make this something that we encourage, not something that we force or push upon groups. And if we want to educate groups, that's great, but no group should ever feel that because, you know, they're not as sustainable as another group that their funding will be cut, and sustainability should not determine funding for any group.
Representative Salem.
Yeah, I'd like to start with going back to this before I didn't realize that your amendments were submitted. I definitely agree with your proposal. I feel like this is a great place to add in something like, you know, they do it with corporations, they give them economic incentives for using the cost. I don't believe your amendment is actually imposing restrictions exactly on organizations from not meeting that guidelines of sustainability. It's simply asking them to become aware of, you know, the environmental impact that their programs are having and ways that they can improve in the future. I don't think anywhere with that strategy of their ability to receive funding if one organization is going to return.
Representative Dykow.
This is extraordinarily different than what, like, the resolution I brought forth and what I said at the first meeting that we talked about Appendix A. So it doesn't say, like, we have to submit, like, specific things that are, like, measurable that we're going to look at. All it says is any measures they've taken in the last year. So they can easily say, we, like Ms. Stein said, like, we didn't take any. Our group doesn't lend itself to that, whatever. That would be completely fine. And it's not going to limit your funding or not. It's just part of the package. And, although I agree with Matthew, like, if it's, they're not educated about it, they might feel uncomfortable, but if it's acceptable to the clause, then they can definitely get help on it, and that helps us. We can say, if you don't put anything in, that's fine, and that is fine, but I don't think that being like, oh, we're going to wait and educate them and wait until they're able to do it. If we don't push it, like, they can think about this at all, how are they going to know they need to be educated about it? Then we have a ton of disabled stuff they can go to be educated about, they don't know who they want. I really don't think it's as restrictive or as horrible, and I'm not saying deny groups at all, so I'm sorry to choose you about that question. I'm really not trying to do that, and I don't believe it does. So if anyone would like me to repeat it, I can again. But
yeah, I'll stop the time. Can you reread it one more time for us? Thanks.
So it's just not a full sentence, like a bullet point of what they have to include. So they have to include a description of sustainable practices the organization has taken in the last two academic years and any effect these measures may have had on costs, and a description of any intended sustainable practices for the upcoming 2 years for which funding is requested. Together, not to exceed 2 pages, help can be provided by the SAEC if solicited.
What's the SAEC?
Point of information.
What is the SAEC?
The Student Assembly Environmental Committee.
That's what it says online, so it's really like that.
Representative, thank you, Emily. Representative Andrews.
Yeah, I mean, I do think this is a good amendment. We're just asking groups to think about sustainability, and it doesn't hurt their application in any manner. And I think that if these groups realize, oh wow, we can use recycled napkins instead of, you know, two fly napkins, then maybe you know it'll be a good thing, and it doesn't hurt groups at all. So,
But VP Mezzi. Oh, sorry. Call the question. There's been a call to question. I didn't hear a second. There's a second. And there's dissent. 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
I personally just wanted to reiterate that I think, as VP Miller said, people will feel that their funding is going to be impacted by whether or not they are sustainable. Maybe that's not the case, but they will feel that way. And no, they shouldn't feel that way. They shouldn't feel threatened. They shouldn't feel that, oh, if we are not sustainable, if our group doesn't lend itself to being more sustainable, or we don't want to cut quality, then we're not going to get funding. That's ridiculous, and that does not belong in our charter. And I happen to feel very strongly about that, and I think it needs more discussion because I do feel that groups will feel threatened, and they will feel that if they are not more sustainable, they'll lose their funding, and I think people will make up a bunch of lies about how they've become more
sustainable. Time. Okay, so now we have to vote. We have to vote on the amendment. So all in favor of voting on the amendment that Emlyn read before, please raise your hand. Keep it high. Count how many people voting numbers in the room. Wait, someone just put the. Please raise your hand again if you're in favor of calling the question, voting on the amendment. Okay, that's 50%. The call to question failed. So continuing on the speakers list, VP Mezzi.
Number two, this is an appropriation committee to decide the cost and benefit of something. Being sustainable always isn't the most cost-effective thing to do. The primary responsibility of the appropriations committee is a fiduciary responsibility to the students. And that responsibility is to make sure that their money is being used as best as possible. So therefore, my hesitation with putting in the independent A stipulates how groups apply, how groups receive funding, and lays out the process. You can say that it might not have an effect, but if somebody puts a statement together that says, we do not have sustainable practices, and that's what they submit, I fear that members of the Appropriations Committee and the Assembly will take that and have a negative light on it. Maybe the nature of their organization doesn't permit for a cost-effective sustainability program, because like we know, sometimes the most sustainable thing to do, for example, with Lopez, is to get
1 minute
bottle of clean water from a tractor trailer that's delivered in New York versus PLA-based corn bottles of water from Iowa getting shipped all the way here. So I think that there's a lot of issues surrounding sustainability that we need to address, and I don't think this is the appropriate place to do that because of if it's not cost-effective for my group to be sustainable. I think it could be perceived, regardless of what we say the intent is. Next year we have no idea how it will be perceived. So I fear putting that in here, and I would strongly encourage you
30 seconds.
To not consider this amendment. And maybe this is something that in the stipulations for each group, we can say that they have to have some sort of sustainability component if it fits within the guidelines or the mission or whatever the
15.
So that's my meeting. And the other thing I would like to say is I'd like to suspend the discussion on this so we can move forward with SAFC Fuel.
I'm going to finish this first speaker's list, three more people, and then I will go to SAFC Fuel. Parliamentarian Purdy.
I've talked to Emlyn about this, and I have a couple of reservations about it. The first is that sustainability practices don't apply to all groups. So how does that, how does this affect how some groups it applies to, others doesn't. It might affect the funding of some groups, but not others. It's also very subjective. You might end up with a funding group 1 year that's all about sustainable practices and is, much more willing to fund groups that are working towards that, and the next year it could be the complete opposite.
Representative.
Can I deal with Emma?
Yeah, Emma, you have a minute.
So the thing is, this is only byline funded groups, which is different than SAFC, like all these groups that might not come into play. So yeah, some of them might not come into play, but byline funded groups, I don't think they're going to be like, oh, I'm not going to apply for byline funding this year now that they're talking about sustainability. They're like, for the most part, I know they change a little bit your year, but there's like maybe 10 core groups that are always going to apply for it. So I don't think that argument that they're not going to apply for funding, they're not going to get funding in. Although this is a subjective thing, the whole byline funding process is subjective. It's not like SAT where you have to do specific things. Like, they have to meet specific guidelines, but it's overall subjective, so.
Representative Vitello?
I do really agree with this initiative that Emily's putting forth. I think that, you know, it's very important, especially for the progress of our university groups. However, I do believe that this, like as Vice President Negri said, does belong in a different section of the rules, maybe Appendix B as an encouragement to student groups. And I think that that's something really strongly to consider because, you know, I think as an, for the groups, as other people have mentioned, that do not already have implementation of sustainability practices and whatnot. So I just think that's something that everyone should consider.
Representative Garcia-Rodin. All right, we have to come back to this, so I'm just going to close this. I have a second speaker's list that Salemstein and Dietau are on when we come back to this. So we are now moving to SAC appeals. We first have the translator interpreter program on the agenda. Okay. Yep, careers in the fashion industry.
Do we not have an SAC handout? Oh, there's like one for three or something?
Yeah.
We didn't want to print that many packets. I do have three additional copies. I've seen them here if anyone would like one of their own.
Okay. Hi, guys. Thank you for coming. We'll first start off. We have 2 minutes for SAC to explain their decision, and then we'll give 2 minutes to the group, and then we'll have DP Mesa give the appropriations recommendation.
Yes, you send one favorite student.
We're doing careers in the fashion industry.
Motion to overturn.
So 2 minutes. Yeah. Did you check if that mic's on? The switch.
Yeah.
It is? Okay.
So on page 29 of the guidelines at the bottom, look for applying for local events. I would say specifically that applicants on the food documentation group, resume or group of applications, or request, if you do not have documentation for the real space, we're not able to fund for the environment and take an option to get a
chair. Okay. Thank you. And the group, 2 minutes. Okay, thank you. And the appropriations recommendation?
The appropriations recommendation was that the committee, that the SAFC did not err, but we encourage the SA to consider the case before us and the impact that it has on the students that the organization represents. But we did not feel that the SAFC made a mistake in the way that they went through the process.
Okay. The speaker's list is now open. I do encourage those who sat in the appropriations committee to get more so you have more exposure to the case in front of us. Representative Andrews.
Okay, so it was pretty clear that, you know, the group made a mistake. They didn't have the room reservations. But we feel in an effort to be, you know, subjective, in our analysis of these groups. This one event is the fundamental purpose of this group. And if we don't fund them, this group essentially, you know, they their one event of the year. And it seems like it'll definitely help the Cornell community. So we feel like the student assembly should vote to grant them the money. It's not even that much compared to some groups. And I think we vote yes to give them the money.
Can I speak with them?
Thank you. VP Miller.
I'm kind of communicating visually with Representative Hines and Andrews, and I the chair of the Appropriations Committee, can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you reported the Appropriations Committee decision incorrectly. I would yield my time to Representative Andrews or Representative Hines to just to back me up on that.
No one moved their mic ever.
I had you.
Yeah, in this case, it was clear that they did not meet one of the guidelines, and so SAFC was not wrong in their decision. And I think if the student assembly were to overturn the decision, that would be saying a lot. It would be saying basically that, you know, even if you break a rule clearly, and the SAFC says you're not getting funding, then the SAFC would be sympathetic. And do we really want to, you know, make that standard?
Representative Sandoval.
Hi, this question is to Crystal. Can you tell me more about this grant that you guys
are talking about? Okay, you have to speak into the mic. We can't hear you well.
I understand,
Representative Dykem. Representative Brass.
Just to respond to Mike, I remember in the fall we kind of had this discussion either if we should be subjective as the essay or objective. And I think that we all came to the conclusion that it was better to be subjective for the essay and let the SAFC be objective because that's kind of their expertise. So I think that the essay has moral guidelines to do what's best for the students, not really always play by the rules, because that's why we have SAFC, and then they come to SA and they can appeal. So I want to call the question.
Second. Just a session. I'm not going to recognize the call to question. DP Bingham.
I'm not going to touch it anymore.
I think that the essay subjectivity comes into play when there's gray area. I think that in a case like this where the facts are very clear, as well as the SAFC guidelines on this issue are very clear, I believe it's very explicit in the handbook. I think that the essay should err on the side of objectivity. I think subjectivity comes in when, again, there is gray area, the way the SAFC rules are written. That's my personal opinion.
Representative Salem.
Yeah, I have a question. So have you looked for the group of students now? Like everything that in the community of the grant as representative, I agree that the defense will benefit the entire criminal community. I think the first group of students to appeal to us and to our united group. Is it an event? I'm not sure if this is one of the events of the year. It is, and I think, you know, it will just improve community life here.
There's been a call to question, but I need to clarify something. Groups do not appeal to us to appeal to our humanity. That is a false statement. I have to say that. It is up to a representative's interpretation if they want to be subjective as you know, this is the legislative body versus SFC is you know, an allocating body. If there's areas where we can be subjective, okay, that's fine, but that's not the purpose of our appeals process. I do have to clarify that. And the rules and everything, it is whether or not the SFC erred, whether or not they made an error. Hold on, just a moment. That's not to say that you can't take these into account, but that is not the purpose of the appeals process. Again, this is partly your interpretation of the process. I just don't want these statements to be taken as universal, absolute statements that individual representatives are making. Yes?
Just as a kind of consensus on the Appropriations Committee, we came to the idea that the Appropriations Committee was supposed to be the objective body, and then the Student Assembly as a whole was supposed to be the subjective body, and that was our consensus, it seemed like, on the Appropriations Committee.
I would say that is not the job of the Appropriations Committee to decide that. That's okay if that's how you individually voted, you know, in your mind, that's how you look at it, that's fine, but that's not a universal statement.
Representative Salas, you just spoke. Representative Garcia Verdeen.
Don't call the question.
Oh, you called the question. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a second? Any dissent? 30 seconds to explain your dissent?
I think that the SAFC process has these rules for a reason, and I understand it's the mission of the goal, and I'm not saying I don't think it's a group or anything like that. I think it's all good happening except we have the event to be funded. However, if we've set this quote-unquote precedent, which I know every group isn't, but we're saying that they clearly didn't have some reservations, it's one of the only few things they really need to have an event. So anyone that doesn't want to do it on time, don't do it on time, and then appeal to FA, and then you'll get funding anyways. And I just think that's really unfair to a lot of other groups, that did. Every group already has to be cut by 10% of things. It's really unfair to groups that do everything on time and, you know, work really hard to get our funds. And they probably work hard, just didn't realize that.
Sorry, that's fine. There was dissent, so we're now going to vote to vote. All in favor of voting on the allocation, please raise your hand. High. Please raise your hand high now. All opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, it does pass. You're going to vote. Now, the motion, the call to question. So we need a two-thirds. The question is to overturn the SAFC's decision. The Appropriations Committee made a recommendation to the SA. Well, right now we're voting on the SAFC's decision. So the question is whether or not to overturn the SAFC's decision, and which we need two-thirds. The clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
No.
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 Abstain.
Noah?
Abstain.
Rack? Yes. Noah?
Yes.
Sunfall?
Yes.
No.
582. Okay, by vote of 582, the motion fails, so the SAC's decision is held. Thank you both for coming. Moving on to... Let's get ready. Is the translator interpreter program still in here?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I'm sorry. VP Meg is actually supposed to give the Appropriations Committee's recommendation first, then we'll 2 minutes and 2 minutes. So if you can both give the history and the decision.
So basically what happened, if you find the Let's Get Ready packet, there is a Let's Get Ready has a is a part of a national organization that has a local chapter here at Cornell. And what Let's Get Ready does is they provide SAT and test prep services to underprivileged or low-income minority students in the community. And they have a $4,750 fee that they pay their national organization to be a chapter at Cornell University. And they receive materials, books, and other things to fund or to provide during their tutoring. The one thing to note is SAFC guidelines require an itemized breakdown of any request or description of any sort of fee, so they did provide one. The recommendation of the Appropriations Committee is that the SAFC did err due to materials essential to the organization's mission. The reason why the group was not funded is because the SAFC and their guidelines does not fund for books that are not reusable or books that are available in the library. Also, there was a point about pencils, mugs, and t-shirts that was listed on this breakdown of the fee that the group actually did not receive. And so the Appropriations Committee felt that these textbooks and these books were essential to the group's mission, and that, you know, just like the glow stick club gets glow sticks that are, you know, breakable and one-time use, but it's essential to the glow sticks club's organization, or paintballs to the paintball club. We felt that these books were essential to the organization. And a little bit of historical information. The last two times that this group has applied for funding, they did receive the full funding for the price for their allocation. So that's why we decided to fund them. We're recommending that the funding be set at $2,710. That's with a $250 grant subtracted from the request that they received for shipping from their national organization. And then that's also subtracting the amount that they were already allocated from the total that they requested originally. But we also understand that there is a $3,500 cap on organizations. So what happens is the 10% will be cut from the initial allocation, and then there'll be a cap. So most likely their total amount of funding will fall at the cap, so they won't receive that full total amount, basically, if they do receive funding.
Okay. 2 minutes for SAFC, then 2 minutes for the group.
Sure. So first off, there were a couple items such as like pens and pencils, which definitely never was for, because they're all as good as mentioned on page 36. And then I can make the plus versus the SAT books, which as Greg mentioned, you don't want to work because we didn't find those to be useful for several years. That's also a little bit swampy. This is all on page 35, 36. We also have a few other issues since that also points to students that we use for personalized use. Another thing you don't want for is very good. And they also have a broken school on campus, and these all information. And although the fact that they are essential, the group's mission is to understand, but there have been exceptions to that, like we have in our memoirs, like our supplies for groups folks that are. But there's a couple other issues that we don't fund for local events, we sole purpose of charity. And some of the things these folks also kind of seem like a charitable donation to
okay. The group, 2 minutes.
So this is I think first off, I want to say that I forgot my charity thing. I don't think it's charity at all. I mean, it's charity in some way, but it's not like we're just getting the books and giving them. So to me, first thing is for our students, it's about 30 for our students to the book. And make sure this is for them and tutor and mentor these students. Thank you.
Thank you. Speaker's list is open.
Can I clarify something?
Oh, yeah.
Well, one thing, too, that I want to clarify, the $4,750 is a fee that you pay regardless of the number of students that you tutor.
So if you were to take 60 students and tutor 60 students, our fee would be the same as 230. It's not really the
fee
that
the
national
organization. Yes. And the other... And I think one of the things that the Appropriations Committee wanted to draw some light to was the fact that this recommendation, or this price quote here, or whatever it is, the bill for the $4,750, is something that Lefty Ready National just, you know, spit out and say, you know, this is what standard is. And I think the important thing to note is this is just maybe a hypothetical breakdown, because SAFC does require an itemized breakdown of where those costs go. But if it's just a membership fee to be part of this organization to receive whatever types of materials are available, there's really no good way to break that down, because it can change in several different directions. So that's why we felt that it was appropriate to fund this group.
VP Miller.
Just start talking.
Oh, sorry. So, I mean, yeah, they got a contentious appropriation. I was a big concern because the T-shirt aspect, you know, I asked the group specifically, do you use these T-shirts as a marker to let you know that, you know, you're on one of the coaches? And the answer was no. And so it seemed to me that, you know, SAFC doesn't fund other groups for their clothing unless it's reusable during. So I was worried about that. I completely agree that we should fund for the books because that's significant to their organization, absolutely. But I am concerned about giving them T-shirts, you know, goods that we wouldn't give another SAFC group. I just don't like the president in that sense, but I would like to hear debate amongst other assembly members.
Representative Salem.
I feel like the Appropriations Committee made the right decision on something that's good. There's definitely, I mean, if anyone can benefit the community, it has to be them. And, I mean, in my opinion, the reason the organization comes to us is good to our community, so I would call the question.
Okay, it's been a call question. Something wasn't clear. You just, the appropriation, what's the appropriations recommendation to overturn SAFC?
To overturn the SAFC. Okay.
Thank you. Been a call question. Is there a second? Any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we will. Sure. Oh, yeah, no, I know. We're on the motion. Seeing no dissent, we're going to go to. Okay, we're now going to vote to vote. All in favor of calling a question, please raise your hand. Hi. All opposed? Abstentions? The motion passes. We will call the question. I'll give the group. Hold on a second. Absolutely. I'm going to give SAFC 1 minute to close and then the group 1 minute to close. Okay, group. Okay, thank you. The clerk, please call the roll. Now, if you're voting yes, you're voting to overturn the SAFC's decision. If you're voting no, you're voting to hold the SAFC's decision. If we do vote yes, which needs 2/3, then we will open it up to discuss which allocation we are going to set.
Andrew?
Yes.
April?
Yes.
Cuba?
Yes.
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 Sure.
14-1-0.
Yeah. It passes anyway. The SAFC decision has been overturned. Now the speaker's list is now open for the new recommendation for allocation. DT Mezzi.
I'd like to recommend that we fund the group at $2,710,
which
comes from the math of the amount that they requested to be $2,960 minus a $250 grant that they received to cover the cost of shipping from their national organization. But we also know that they received $1,611 and that a cap of $3,500 was set on all groups that this group would fall into that category of. So what I'm saying is we fund for the remainder of what they've asked for and know that it will be only funded at $3,500 max allocation to the organization.
So let me clarify, so you're funding for, just because we've been speaking about the line items, you're funding for the books and the T-shirts?
No, I'm funding for $2,700 or $2,710 of their national dues that they need to pay for their organization. I'm not recognizing the itemized breakdown of the price quote because I do believe that it is inaccurate in the way that it is represented. And knowing the information I know from the group that they did not receive those items and that is the fee that has been funded for the past 2 years, I think it's fair to assume that that is the consistent national fee regardless of the number of students because the group's number of students has changed in years past.
Okay. Now we're speaking about the allocation that Greg just outlined. This brand new speakers list for this is now open. Sure. I'll give you 1 minute to respond to that proposed allocation. Okay.
You agree.
Speakers list is open. Representative Dyka.
I understand that the itemized budget they gave may have been arbitrary and that the total budget is what they have to pay, but it's very unfortunate that that is the breakdown they gave us because we go by the breakdown. And so SIC goes by that breakdown and we don't fund for, so we're funding for the books because there's that gray area that it qualifies as their main mission and everything. But the breakdown that said T-shirts and love pencils, it's unfortunate they didn't get them, it's unfortunate their national sent them that, but that is the itemized breakdown that they put in this packet and we do not fund for that. So I think an allocation to subtract it. And although I disagree, I will yield to this.
So basically what I'll do, because the amount that they'll get anyways, is I'd like to subtract $288 from my initial thing just to make everybody feel better, even though it's meaningless and it doesn't mean anything. If it limits discussion to make this more effective, subtract $288 from my initial request of $2,710, and then know that the group will still only receive up to $3,500.
Representative Andrews.
I guess if that covers the truth. Even though it's an arbitrary breakdown, it doesn't mean that we should fund them because of the national dues. It's an essential purpose to their mission.
Okay.
So let's see what went down.
VP Miller. Thanks for the lesson, Greg. I call the question. Call questions. There a second?
Okay.
Any dissent? Okay, Greg, I'm sorry. Just one more time before we go to the vote. Explain what the allocation everyone's voting on.
What was the number you gave us?
We didn't need the number. It's just what we're funding now.
Okay. We're funding the organization $2,710 minus $288. So whatever that is, we're funding, and we know that it will be capped at $3,500.
Okay, thank you. Will the clerk please call the roll? Yes is in favor of this new allocation, and no isn't.
Yes.
Hazel?
Yes.
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 Not here. Okay, 14-0-0. That is the group's new allocation. Thank you very much. Next up, we have Cornell Caribbean Students Association. Hello. Again, we'll have DP Mezzi give 2 minutes summary of the Appropriations Committee's recommendation. SASB 2 minutes, and then the group 2 minutes.
All right. So just want to make sure my notes match up here. The recommendation of the Appropriations Committee is that the SAFC did not err, but the SA should look at some of what happened in their budget packet. One of the things was their room reservation price quote, SAFC, correct me if I'm wrong, was handwritten. The price quote amount was handwritten and was not initialed, correct? So the documentation was there, it was just not initialed. Anytime something's handwritten, it needs to be initialed, correct?
I want to clarify the calculation. So there are two issues in this field. One is room reservation, and the other issue is the
What?
Thanks, Evan.
Go ahead.
So the room reservation that we provided in the budget package actually informed limits this the approval for this event that's pending, and the SAC cannot consider the pending approval form as proof of room reservation. So we need to see an email saying, yes, we have this room reserved for this amount of time. And the second issue was with the price quote that was attached to an email or some sort. So the group told the SAC that this was written by one of the Justice Hall coordinators, but the SAC requires that the vendor's invoice be initialed and there should be a contact information for the vendor.
And the issue of moving this is documentation, some of that.
Thank you. Group, just 2 minutes. Hello.
So the documentation that will apply to the county is that it is in fact written by the store services. I sent her an email and she printed out and she came over and printed it in the backup. I didn't know anything about that. And also, one thing that for the room reservation, I was going to use the same thing, but there was also many questions about things for our reservation. And then at the hearing on Tuesday, I also submitted one the official form from the show saying that the first one was heard. And the email that showed the attachment on the bottom, and it will be provided the first time on the attachment.
Thank you very much. The speaker's list is now open unless Greg has anything to clarify or add. No. I mean, based on the information that was provided in the packet, we felt that the SAFC did not make a mistake, but we did want to have a discussion on the impact that this will have for the community.
Okay. V.T. Miller. This is the gray area we were alluding to earlier. This is where it gets a little ambiguous, and the SAFC has to follow strictly to the rules. But this group obviously made a very well-intentioned effort. There's no reason why they shouldn't get this funding. They just missed the signature. I mean, it was all there. So I suggest to the assembly that we overturn the decision of the SAFC.
Representative Dietel.
I second everything that Miller just said. That it's just like really tricky to scan and all that confusion and everything. And we did get verification that this is like authentic documentation. So with that information now, I think that although I said you did the right thing, you should call the question.
Just going to call the question.
Second.
I heard a second. Is there any dissent? Hey, 1 minute to SAFC is the closing. 1 minute to the group, if you'd like to take it.
Sure. Well, I do agree that we don't have proof that the price quote was authentic.
Thank you. Group. Excellent. Thank you for your time. Will the clerk please call the roll? If you're voting yes, you're voting
to hold SOC's decision, which is against the group, that the SOC did not air it?
No.
Nope. Let me clarify that. Hold on. You're voting yes. You're voting to disapprove the decision of the SAFC and fund the group. If you're voting no, you're voting to uphold SAFC's decision. Yes for the group. No against the group. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
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 Don't look at my numbers at all. It's just.
Yes.
Yes.
We have to vote on the allocation. So it has to be a vote on the
allocation. No, you don't.
Yes.
No, I mean, that's, you could interpret.
Yes.
What if it,
yes.
If you're voting on it, maybe you're not to fund the books, but you just fund the books. Whatever that number is, you'll be able to get. Whatever you think is easier, but the number essentially means nothing to anyone.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been to this yeah. 19 times.
You would have had a problem with yes.
Numbers mean anything to anyone. We've been talking about the issue. The issue is, so for example, our issue.
The question is the
The question is to, the motion is to disapprove the SAFC decision. It's to overturn the SAFC decision. Are we done with calling the roll? Okay. Vote 15-0-0. We overturned SAFC's decision. Now, speaker list is open to throw out new allocations, which I will look to EP Mezzi for.
You don't want to talk about numbers.
Do whatever you think. It works last time.
The group's requesting $1,500 for the space that they have in Duffield Hall to host their event, which they have over 250 students attend. So that would, I guess, be the first recommendation on the table that people can discuss if they want.
Representative Dietel.
I would say that they should be treated as other groups. So it would be the $1,500 they should be fully funded, but then get the 10% cut that every group has received thus far.
Which they will.
Yeah, we wouldn't vote on that. I guess that's just standard.
That's automatic.
Okay. I'm sorry, I thought we could do whatever we wanted.
Well, VP Miller.
I call the question.
Call the question. Here a second.
Second.
Any dissent? Will the clerk please call the roll? You're voting yes, you're in favor of this new allocation which funds the group of which they requested. No is a no.
Andrew? Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Not here.
Yes.
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 Okay. Thank you. The group gets their funding. And that concludes. Oh, it's translator interpreter program here.
No.
Thank you for coming. Okay. We're still gonna go through the hearing. They just don't have their time. I'll give Greg 2 minutes and then SFC 2 minutes.
They didn't show up to appeals and they're not here today. They haven't responded to my emails. Every other group has responded. So, you know, that's the email that they've provided us. So, yeah, they're not here. Our decision was that the SFC did not err in this situation.
30 seconds for SFC. Okay, well, thank you. Speaker's list is open. Send it off. Can you call a question?
Second.
Any dissent? Okay, I'm going to go to a handbook for this. All in favor of upholding the SAFC decision? Raise your hand. All opposed? Okay, your decision's held. Okay, that concludes SAFC appeals. Thank you very much. Nathan, do you have any closing? Anything about appeals?
Great job this year with the allocation. I appreciate all your time and your hard work. something to be commended. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Resolution 24, Appendix A changes. Mezzi.
We don't have enough members to vote on.
We don't have enough members to vote on.
15 required. There's only 15 here.
Wonderful. We'll have to hear that for next week.
Well, I mean, if you're favored in proxy, yes, to add it to it. Tolerance of amendment.
I think we should just...
I'm going to table. Appendix A table. That's all. Resolution 29, last item on business of the day, creation of an undergraduate housing rate scale. Liaison Tata, Representative Kumar, and Liaison Miller. Sorry to interrupt. We don't have quorum. We need half for quorum. I'll wait until people are back in their seats. Who just went out to the bathroom?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Evelyn makes quorum. Okay. Thank you. As you are. Okay, first on the speaker's list, VP Miller.
So my first question is, do you have a rate schedule in mind right now?
Well, we would love to have a point that I think that given how we're on all the community, it's why I said, what's the idea of just sort of
I appreciate that. I guess as to vote on this, I would feel more comfortable voting on it if I knew the disparity that would exist between students living in different dorms. I should make myself feel more comfortable. Can you give me can you rough it maybe? I mean, reevaluated every year.
What rather is happening is that first you implement it, we don't want to push it too quickly. Again, given the current situation. So what different methods at least it would be reviewed. And I will personally be speaking to our team representatives so that they have said more often than we want to semester basis. Sure. And it would be subject to reevaluation. Again, I think the key part of this is that
one last question. Did you guys consider financial aid? Is financial aid okay with this idea? Yeah, because I would hope students would still be able to get full financial aid for their housing needs. Right, but these are just kind of questions here. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Rass.
I just have a couple of concerns with this. First, I want to think about the feasibility of all of this. I don't think the campus is ever going to say that they can cut down on housing costs, because that's a big part of the revenue. I mean,
actually, the fact that
but aren't the scale rates for North Campus, if you want one room, a double, a single, or a triple, I feel like that's different than living in certain houses.
Actually, for scale rates for North Campus, which is probably not right now, because it's a very different situation.
Okay.
Not a new issue by any means for people's life. And our team of course is going to be life after we did this around 300 years ago. And regarding the loss of revenue, certainly that will all be an option to let us next week.
1 minute.
With the team of the office.
I'm just kind of nervous about doing it by houses, because I feel like people would make it so it's kind of like a country club system. If you can afford to live in the nicest houses, you're going to choose that instead. And I don't really agree with your North Campus being different from West Campus, because there are definitely totally different buildings that are not very nice. And
wait, hold on, sorry, just for sponsor's resolution, the representative has the floor. They have it until they yield the time to the sponsor's resolution.
Yeah, so I just wanted to know how you were going to stop that from becoming people who can afford it can live in the really nice ones, and people that just would rather save the money for their education should live in the not as nice dorms on West.
Second.
One, in your life, you know, coming off campus, you're doing your own thing, all the way, why do you want to do it? And two,
second. Okay, time. Representative Hines. Yep, this is the day. It does have to be tabled, but Representative Hines.
I would recommend possibly changing the resolution, maybe to something that says that you're charging the committee with coming up with a plan for scale house breaks, or just stating the resolution until you have a plan, because I think a lot of people have questions specifically about how it will be implemented, and they're going to have reservations based on that. I mean, everybody thinks it's a good idea that they're looking to, but nobody's ready to say, okay, let's make it mandated that, you know, there will be scaled housing rates in the housing sector.
Sure, yeah. I mean, again, what we're doing here is we're beginning the dialogue, until we get a plan from somebody. That's what we're doing through the residential housing. So, certainly, you know, I agree with you that, you know, we need more specifics. But I don't think we can get more specific to be in the guidance of we want scale of housing masters, scale of graduate housing rates, just on it, kind of implement.
1 minute.
I guess the point of inquiry, do they actually need this resolution to go ahead and come up with a plan?
Well, actually, as a point of fact,
yes.
As a point of fact, because the RFP is already passed, resolution will be going anyway. Again, the reason why I personally
right, I understand, but it says right here that be therefore resolved, blah, 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 that the housing master plan will reflect the difference in quality. So this resolution is already saying that this change will happen. And I mean, I think it's a good idea, but I'm not ready to say, okay, we have a plan. So maybe if you reword the resolution, it's not.
Representative Snell. Is there any second?
Second.
Is there a dissent? Seeing no dissent, I'll give the sponsors of the resolution 1 minute to close. Second? Okay, thank you. Would clerk please call the roll?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Sandoval, proxies, yes. Baker, proxies, no. Baker, dead. Baker's not proxy. He was not here for any discussion. Okay. Thank you. Those are some guys. Okay. Okay, what's that? What? Unfinished business, resolution 27, survey of students involved in illegal file sharing. Representative Hines. Mike, you have 2 minutes to do what you want. Thank you. Speaker Clifton now open, Representative Kumar.
Yeah, I'll be voting no on this, but I do want to thank you and the whole committee for looking so hard for this, throughout this semester and the past semester. And I think all the work that you've done, there is another change in the strategy. I think it was definitely useful that we set it up with this. So, great job on the committee for looking for this so much and sharing it. So, thank you.
Representative Rapp.
I just want to also say good job on this. I think that this is going to be really helpful for the people that came to talk to us earlier in the semester. I think that if we get like really good feedback from this and people are willing to share, we can decide as an assembly what our stance is on the last. Kirsty, what was our stance when they came to talk to us?
That the university should be aiding in the notification of students so that they can be better, more informed.
So I think this will definitely help the university to decide what they should do in the situation. So,
yeah. Representative BP Bagel.
I'm just curious, Nikhil, I support this. Why you said you were going to vote against it?
Because there's a change in strategy, so I just don't feel like the cost of if we had sent out by mail, I feel like
well, can I just make a point of information? It would only be sent to people who get by mail who get some. I'm not chair for right now. Yeah, the RI, this whole industry is very volatile. Their strategy changes all the time. If for say in 6 months this starts happening again, we want to be able to have this capable of starting working on it now and then not waste time to bring this back. But, so there's no reason that we shouldn't vote yes on this. All this does is give us capability of doing this. If activity is stagnant for 6 months, great. Students aren't getting, you know, these legal issues. But if it is, then we want to be able to do this. So there's absolutely no reason in my mind that we should be voting no, just being preemptive.
Liaison Miller?
Just communicate between the SA and students, the students that were adversely affected. I think it's great just to have dialogue with them. And, you know, if you take the strategy to change it again, at least we have some information. And then also, it'll help us, you know, keep on with creating this website, you know, like, you know, further down the line with the information published on how many people went to legal counsel, what their legal counsel said, and, you know, what the court is actually going to hold up. So I think, I mean, even if you have enough information, then, you know, just go ahead and put it online and just hold on. I think that's the call to question.
Good call to question. Again, the second end of the sentence. Will the
dissent?
Well, then we'll have to then call do dissent, and we'll have to vote to vote. Dissent. 30 seconds to explain your dissent.
I was just going to make a motion to table that and bring it back in case, you know, doing this in the future to change the strategy.
Okay. At this time, we're going to vote to vote. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of calling this question. All opposed? All abstentions? 10-1-0. It passes. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Can I get one minute?
Yes, you can. 1 minute.
Just to clarify, sending out the survey will be for people in the IDO. And I don't know if you understood the last time I said it, but there's not much community engagement. The new survey, basically all the questions will be to people who did not send it. That's all the information that we get. Again, of the 59 email addresses, we only know of one who did not send it. There's not much being here. It might be that table, but if you want to send out the survey anyway, fine, but I don't see us getting any information. We don't have
it. Yeah, that's a common question. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Abstain. I don't get you, Mike.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Abstain.
What? 13.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happened here in the room?
Sorry, you can pass it over.
I vote yes and it passed. Oh,
woohoo!
This meeting is adjourned.
That was only 1 minute and 20 days. Even if it's like three people's info, why not have it? You worked all down this resolution for so long. Who cares?
That's pointless. You are the most confusing person I know.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.